Go with me over to Genesis, if you would, in chapter 1. And then I'm going to preach 5 minutes from each book of the Bible this morning. Settle down. Some of y'all's blood pressure just spiked. Genesis 1. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You'll notice here this represents the very first words that ever struck the human ear after creation. God could have said anything, but the first thing he did was to bless what he has made. And this refers to the concept or the principle of the law of first words or first mention. What it means is wherever you find the first mention of something, that's where you're going to find the incorrect interpretation and meaning of that. In other words, it's not some aberration for God's people today to believe in the blessing. It was God's design from the very beginning. It has always been his will that his people be blessed. He didn't say, "I curse you." He didn't say, "You're going to let me down. I'm going to have to bring my son." He said, "I bless you," and he blessed them. But the problem is a lot of people misunderstand the difference between the blessing and a thing called happiness. There's a big difference between happiness and the blessing. Happy is an emotion-centered life. Blessed is a spirit-centered life. Happy focuses on a plethora of emotions. Blessed manifests the nine fruits of the Spirit. Listen carefully. Happy is a fleeting feeling, but blessed is a static state. It's a force. It's an invisible garment. Amen. It's a static state, which means it doesn't come and go. It's not something that's going to disappear once it's there in your life. You know, there are ways to tap into it. We'll talk about today. But happiness is as fleeting, you know, as the dew on the morning grass. The reality is when you're talking about the blessing, you're talking about something that is static, it is fixed. It's like a garment. How many of y'all put clothes on this morning? How many glad you did? Well, every single day you also have something that's invisible on you as a child of God, and it's called the blessing, not a blessing. A blessing is an apple on a tree. The blessing is the tree that produced the apples. That makes sense. You have something on you that's invisible, that's powerful. And the reality is a lot of people are out there pursuing happy. Happy is circumstantial, but blessed is relational. It's based on your walk with God. Amen. How many know sometimes believers get down too? They have a hard time too. Your emotional state has nothing to do with your state of blessing.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. Your blessed state is not based on how you feel. That is a different concept. That is somebody who's pursuing a thing called happiness. People who pursue happiness rarely are. But people who pursue the blessing generally have happiness as a byproduct.
Amen.
Plainly stated, blessed people are happy. People who pursue happiness seldom are. And there's a reason for that. Because the blessing brings a force in your life that's not based on what you're going through. In 2025, you'll probably have some challenges and face some things. We don't teach here that faith is a panacea that causes you to avoid all kinds of circumstances and trouble and challenges. No, faith invites attacks. But the Bible teaches us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Bring it on. Because the faith in you is greater than the assault and the attack. You and I need to be pursuing the blessing. The blessing literally is the power to prosper or to succeed. The blessing is the power to increase, to excel, to go to the highest level, to bear much fruit, to have longevity in your life. This is what God did. This was his will from Genesis chapter 1, and his will hasn't changed. Once you understand his will, God is not flaky like a human being. Once you understand what that will is, you have every right to believe it and pursue it.
Amen.
So God never promised you happiness, but he did promise you the blessing.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I'd rather have something permanent, a supernatural force on my life than some fleeting feeling or emotion.
Amen.
God said in Hebrews 6:14, speaking of Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee. And the Bible said he did in fact get blessed. I'll bless you, amen. Those that bless you will be blessed, and those that curse you will be cursed. We understand the unfolding of Abraham's life shows you the blessing is actually real. And if he did it for Abraham, he can do it for you. While pursuing happiness is a fool's errand, the pursuit of the blessing is actually rewarded.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Pursuing happiness is a fool's errand.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Pursuing the blessing is in fact rewarded. Amen. It's expected. There is nothing selfish about you pursuing the blessing of God in your life. Because it wasn't your idea to begin with. Understanding how this works is key, and understanding how you tap into that blessing, that becomes a matter of what's up to you rather than what's up to God, but it is available. Listen to what Jabez said. When you're reading 1 Chronicles 4, you're getting a bunch of, you know, listings of names and families. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all this genealogy, is this little story about Jabez. That's striking to me. It's like taking the spotlight from the platform, you know, and just hitting it with a full measure, every lumen you have to focus on this thing. This man, Jabez, the scripture says in verse 9 of chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I gave birth to him in pain. How many know that's not a good way to start out in life? Being labeled. How many of y'all had somebody try to label you at one point in your life? Stupid, ignorant, ugly, you know, the wrong side of the tracks. You don't have what it takes, and on it goes. And that stuff can stick with you. And apparently it stuck with him. But instead of turning from God, he turned to God. And listen to this story. Jabez called out to God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me. Come on, let's practice that. Oh, that you would bless me. Does God have a problem with you being blessed? No. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. That's like asking for the right hand of God to abide in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with the right hand of God in your life, you have no fear. Keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain. The blessing will take you beyond the label and the pain to the empowerment of the blessing. What an amazing story. He prayed for blessing. He prayed for increase. He prayed for power. He prayed for deliverance. And guess what God said? And God granted his request. Don't go online trying to take a poll whether people believe this or not. Make up your mind to believe the Bible this year.
That's right.
Read it, believe it, do what it says, and walk it out. As Leonard Ravenhill, who wrote some masterful works on prayer, said, one of these days, somebody's going to open up the Bible, believe it, and the rest of us are going to be ashamed. Why? Because they're going to get great results. Because they haven't been taught not to believe. They haven't been taught to doubt yet. Amen. God made it plain that his blessing was his will, and Jabez took him up on that. I can see Jabez going through the scriptures looking, you know what, it appears to me that if somebody walks right with God, they can ask for this blessing and God will give it to them. And God said to Jabez, you know what, son, you're absolutely right. And God granted his request. Say that with me. God granted his request. Say it with me. Jabez prayed for the blessing, and God granted his request. That's Bible, not religion. Well, he's no respecter of persons. He respects faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Smile at somebody and say, if Jabez could do it, I can do it. Tell somebody else, if Jabez can do it, You can do it. No, Pastor, some people are just supposed to be run over and destitute and beat up and set aside, supposed to be cursed. Not by God, they're not. You're a believer. God's not cursing you. He's redeemed you from the curse. You've been redeemed from the curse through the blood of Jesus Christ. All that's left to you that's available is the blessing. When you think about this, though, you have to know where the blessing is found. You have to know how you tap into this. And that becomes a matter not of God's will, but of personal decision. I don't like saying this, and I don't particularly like you hearing it. But I'm as blessed right now as I've wanted to be. And you're as blessed right now as you wanted to be.
That's right.
One of the first things you're going to have to do in this new year is take responsibility for where you are. We're in a culture right now where everything is everybody else's fault. And that's not a statement of condemnation towards me, and it's not a statement of condemnation towards you. But if your pastor is going to help you, he's going to have to tell you what the things are that'll help you in terms of tapping into more of that blessing. Say it with me, I'm as blessed
right now
as I want to be.
You
say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, that's your problem. Start agreeing with the word and see what God will do in your life. Say, why would you say that? Because you and I have to make sure that we look in the right places for the blessing. Because you can't just find it anywhere. It's prescribed in Scripture where you tap into and cultivate and walk in the blessing of God. First of all, you find it in God's word. The word is the roadmap to the blessed life. If you're looking for the world, you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, you're looking to, you know, what they sit over here, mama and them think, every other philosophy and influence, you're looking in the wrong place. Say that with me. The word of God is the roadmap to the blessing. There are dues there, and there are don'ts. And there are dues that you and I aren't doing. Getting lonely up here. And there are don'ts that you and I are doing that we should what? Stop doing. And when God has revealed to us by His word some dues and we're not doing it, then we are as blessed as we wanted to be. And when there is a don't, He tells us to stop doing this, and we don't do it, we're as blessed as we want to be. Because our failure to do the do's has stopped our blessing, and the refusal to stop doing things that He told us to stop, that's blocking our blessing as well. And I'm not going to try to say that again. All I can tell you is if I'm doing things He told me to stop, then I'm as blessed as I want to be. And if I refuse to do things He told me to do, I'm as blessed as I want to be. You know what? I want to recalibrate this year. Amen. I said I want to recalibrate this year. I want to listen to Him. Whatever He's telling me to do, that I haven't been doing, I'm going to do. Amen. If He's telling me to stop doing something, I'm going to stop it. And listen, don't go to your natural mind or go to religious people to ask them how you should live. Amen. Go to the Word of God and listen to the Holy Ghost. Yes. Everybody say, thank God. For the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm as blessed right now as I wanted to be. And I'll even go further. A lot of you sitting here today know exactly the do you haven't been doing. And you know the don'ts that you're supposed to stop. That's not my job. The job of the Holy Spirit, thank God, is taken. It is His ministry to reveal to you. It's your job to respond to what He says.
Amen.
Amen. People all over the world this time of the year are looking for the prophetic word. The prophetic word. God gave me a word for the year. And I believe that God does speak. And God has special things He wants to say to our church even this year. And I, as you know, believe completely in the prophetic, in the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to worry or be concerned as you walk into this church. We're going to be word people, and we're going to be people of the Spirit of God. We value the things of the Spirit. We value the prophetic. But why is it that we're always looking for something outside the Word of God to somehow tell us that everything's going to be all right? Looking for something outside, looking for something to tell us that we can be blessed. You already have the word made perfect right here. And no matter how good an utterance is, it will never stack up with the authenticity and the power of that word of God. The power to bring itself to pass is the word of God. You find the blessing in the word of God. It, in fact, is the roadmap to your blessed life. Can I have an amen today?
Amen.
Scripture makes it plain to us when we read Psalm 1 how clear this is. I just want to throw this out to you. Read it every day in 2025 and see if your life is not different. Well, why? Because it explicitly tells you how to be blessed. It explicitly tells you how to walk the blessed life. Let me read this to you from the Amplified, since I happen to have one up here. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, their purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful lead the mockers gather, but his delight and desire in the law of the Lord and all his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Now, the thing you have to understand here is the qualifications for you to tap into the blessing that is referred to in Psalm 1. One is you have to be set apart. You cannot be part of this world and walk in the blessing of God. There are people at various stages of the development in this church. They're all different levels of their revelation, all different levels of their spiritual walk. So you take this, you know, as a point of reference to where you are right now and the Lord grow you up. But you have to separate yourself. And he specifically mentions three things here. Separate yourself from the thoughts of the wicked. They don't think right. Listen carefully. You're being influenced by the world and its advertising and its marketing and its values and its cancel culture and its wokeism and anything goes. Love is love. Those things are not true. They're thoughts of the wicked. And when you allow yourself to be influenced by the thoughts of the wicked, you're not qualified to walk in the fullness of the blessing. Yes, it's very hard to understand some of these things, how there's, you know, God has made it very, very plain to us. There's one name, amen. There's one way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that take it. Say, I'm one of them. But you are not going to walk in the fullness of the blessing, letting the world infect you with their thinking. Their thoughts are wicked. They're twisted. And they are coming at you, you know, like somebody sick in their mouth on a fire hydrant. They are coming at you from every direction. You've got to make up your mind to separate yourself from those wicked thoughts. He mentions also the deeds of sinners. You have no business agreeing with the deeds of sinners. You have no business being a part of that crowd. Love them, reach out to them, but do not emulate the behavior. And listen, do not condone what they're doing. Well, I just want to show that I love, so I'm not going to say anything. Listen, when you condone what evil people do, it's the same thing as doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Why bring it up? Because we're talking about the blessed life. And if we're going to walk in this, we're going to have to be honest about what those stipulations are. Their deeds should not be condoned and should not be practiced by a child of God. Can I have an amen? God is plain about his morality, his sexuality. He's plain about his direction. He's plain about his purpose in this earth. You and I should be committed to what he says and separate ourselves from wicked thoughts, but also sinful deeds and those that would condone those things. And then also separate yourself from the words of mockers. So the thoughts, the deeds, the words, mockers mock. And sometimes that stuff gets inside of you. And I've pastored people here for a long time, and occasionally somebody will start listening to a mocker of miracles, a mocker of healing, a mocker of prosperity, a mocker of the blessed life, and they'll let that stuff get inside. Next thing you know, they are completely throwing down what God wanted to do in their lives. Be careful what you give your ear to.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Not people that mock, but people that celebrate the word of God.
All right.
Again, the blessing is not man's idea. Man couldn't have come up with such a wonderful thing with all of his thoughts and all of his lifetimes. Amen. Couldn't have done it, but God did. And he's saying, this is how you walk blessed. Amen. One, you set yourself apart from the thoughts and the deeds and the words of this world. Number two, you delight in the Word of God. To delight in something means to derive your greatest, you know, pleasure from. Say a pleasure. When being in the Word of God and being under the Word of God gives you great pleasure, you're on the right track. Smile at somebody and say, I'm in church and I'm having all kinds of pleasure right now. I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about the real man. The real man should be jumping up and down. Your flesh may be going, oh me, oh my. But on the inside, you should be what? Something should be jumping on the inside of you of the reality of the blessing and the pathway to walking in the fullness of that blessing. You delight yourself in the Word of God. Listen to it again. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, on his law and precepts and the instructions, the teachings of God. He habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. He derives his greatest pleasure from that. The sect of the Essenes actually, 24 hours a day, have somebody available to read, discuss, and expound on the scriptures. It's like if we finally recruited Jim Kruger to live here 24 hours a day. 2 o'clock in the morning, there he would be reading, amen. And there would be consistently somebody there 24 hours a day. Now, that's kind of a, you know, an interpretive way of looking at that scripture, but you and I can at least confess that you and I can do a lot better in terms of how much time we're in the Word of God. Amen. In other words, day and night implies a new habit in your life. Where if there's an influence coming in, it's God's Word coming in. It's forcing everything else out. It's pushing everything else out that contradicts the Word of God. Say it day and night. You meditate, you ponder, you think about it, you ruminate, you cultivate that, you roll it over again, and you think about that, and that's when revelation starts to explode in your life. Just reading the scripture to check a box off will not give you much revelation. Amen. So say it with me. If I separate myself from the thoughts and the deeds and the words of this world and delight in God's Word, I'm qualified for the blessing. Now what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to listen. If there is some thought, some word, some deed that needs to go, you and I need to be motivated to what? To let it go. Amen. What are the results? They're pretty outstanding. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf also does not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Then it goes on to say, therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, verse 5, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God. For the Lord knows and is fully acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those living outside of God's will, shall perish. In other words, God's going to protect, God's going to intervene for those that are in fact righteous. Just write these down. When you are doing this, when you are separating from the thoughts, the words, the deeds of the world, and you are delighting in the Word of God, you are established. Say it with me, established, fixed, immovable, always abounding in the Word of God. How many know we need more Christians that can't be moved? Come on, say, I shall not be moved. Number two, you're nourished because you're planted in a choice place. Nourished by the waters of the Spirit of God. Because of that, number three, you're fruitful. Every Christian should be greatly fruitful in terms of their life, what they're doing for Him. Say it with me, I'm nourished, and I'm also fruitful. Number four, I'm resilient. My leaf doesn't wither. You're going to bear much fruit into very old age in your life. You're resilient. I tell you, a lot of people in the body of Christ right now, I mean, you just blow on them and they fall over. There's no stamina there. There's no consistency there. Any problem, any trauma, any setback, any issue at all, they can't stand. I am going to tell you, one of the greatest marks of faith is the person that gets punched in the gut, punched in the mouth, and gets back up again. That's faith. Amen. Say it, I'm one of them. Resilient. Well, how could I be resilient? Because I've separated myself from this world and I am delighting in the Word of God. It's making me established and nourished and fruitful and resilient and ultimately prosperous, which means successful, verse 3, and protected in verse 6. See, here's what I believe, and I believe God is saying this to this church. You read this every day, and this psalm is going to explode in your life. You are going somewhere this year you've never gone before in your entire life. It's not a long psalm, but it is huge. It is pregnant with revelation. Some of it God can give you today sitting under the Word of God. But as you do this, listen, I hear the Holy Ghost saying, some of y'all are going to become experts of Psalm 1.
All right.
In your revelation, in your understanding, in your application, and get this, in the results that it promises. I'm one of them. Can you agree with that? Say, I'm one of them. I'm one of them experts. In Psalm 1. I'm not saying don't read anything else. I'm saying, yeah, read and develop and cultivate your lifestyle. But every single day, put this on your reading list. Something special is going to happen in your life this year.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So you find the blessing in God's Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Number two, you find God's blessing in God's will. You can't expect the fullness of the blessing if you're outside of God's will. Deuteronomy 28, which we talk about a lot, says, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come up on you and what? Overtake you. How many can see blessings coming up on you and overtaking you?
Yeah.
Psalm 23 says the same thing. Surely, amen, loving kindness will what? Follow me. All the days of my life. Smile at somebody and say, I have a stalker, and her name is Shirley. No, it's the goodness of God that's stalking you. If we can just get God to do something, if we can just believe God to do something, then praise God, something great will happen. He'll turn it around. It's not trying to get God to do something. It's God trying to get us aligned with His Word. And things flow naturally for the person that is what? Hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God and doing what they're told to do. Getting into His will. You can't ignore God's voice and expect the blessing. Is there something you need to stop doing or is there something you need to start doing? The Word will speak to your heart, but how many know the Holy Ghost is alive and ready to teach us at any moment in time what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing? Now, we value the gifts of the Spirit in this church. Say good amen.
Amen.
We value them. But the difficulty is some folks won't allow themselves to be used. And a dimension of teaching for everyone in this room is that sometimes when you do feel prompted to give a tongue, it's really for you and not the congregation. The interpretation could be for you and not the congregation. It is a measure of growth and development that we are able to discern between something that's for us and something that's for the whole congregation. That doesn't mean something biblical that goes out publicly is going to be harmful if it lines up with Scripture, but I want to help you understand something, that I believe that some of our forefathers in Spirit-filled churches understood. There are times in worship services where things get quiet and still. And what's going on at that moment is the Holy Ghost is talking to people individually. And the last thing I need to do is get pom-poms and say, let's clap.
That's right.
Or sing it again. Or say something. Or even operate in a gift of the Spirit. Because at that point in time, I move the emphasis from what God was saying to people onto what's being said audibly, and I didn't intend to, but I quenched the Spirit of God. There's some of y'all that need to start letting God use you, and those that are used have to recognize that sometimes silence is, in fact, the gift God is giving us. at that moment, he tells me, you need to do this, you need to do that. In those still moments, God has given me different messages to preach, or he's added things, or he's told me to emphasize something. For you, it could be about your life, your ministry, your marriage, your workplace, your finances, giving of a substantial seat. You understand what I'm saying to you? Silence is not an encroachment in the service. It should be expected, delighted in, and participated in. Why? Because we got to be in his will for this to work. And word applies to everybody, but how many know the Holy Ghost has a way of applying that to you personally? How many know the Bible says, husbands, love your wives?
Yeah.
Right? Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
How many y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Oh, bless God, wives, submit to your husbands. That's what I believe. Well, listen, Bubba, you start loving her like Christ loved your church, and you might get a little more submission. Moving right along. I mean, every Bubba in Western Kentucky knows Noah had a flood and woman submit. Just like Joshua parted the Red Sea. The Holy Ghost can tell me how to love my wife. In other words, the details, the specifics. And at that time, what I don't need at that moment is a sermon or a song or a hand clap or an exhortation or even a tongue interpretation or prophecy. I need to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. This is an expounding on what is decent and in order in the house of God. And all of us need to pay attention to it because all of us are distracted sometimes from what God's trying to say. You know, and this message today could be the key to your breakthrough. Some of you have been looking for years. Don't let the devil distract you from receiving it. This is not pot roast time. Who cares what Cracker Barrel's doing? The Holy Ghost is serving up something hot and fresh for you today. That's where your hunger should be. Everybody say, I find the blessing in the Word of God, in the will of God. And number three, in the ways of God. God's ways. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his ways of doing and being right. God has ways about him. We need to be people that are in the Word and in his will. And how many know if you're out of God's will, God can put you back in it very quickly? Come on, say, here I am, Lord. I'm here to do your will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I can just see him pick you up and stick you right back in the will of God if you want him to do that in your life. But when it comes to the ways of God, you and I have to understand he has ways of doing. For example, the way of love. You're not going to be very blessed walking around as a bitter person the rest of your life. It's time to stop letting the devil rob us because we got hurt sometime. Are you here today?
Amen.
The way of faith. Just shall what? Shall live by faith. Scripture tells us we're supposed to be people that are not part-time planters, but lifestyle sowers of our talent, of our treasure, of our time. That's what we're supposed to be. You need to develop your love walk, cultivate your faith, and understand that everything in this life comes from a seed. Well, I don't like that. Well, then you're not a candidate for the blessing. Because you got to be in God's word and his will, but you also have to accept his ways. There are people who can sit in church for 30, 40 years and never be taught about the ways of God relative to the concepts of things like seed faith. Where everything God does, he does through a seed. Are you here today?
Amen.
I want you to understand this. God's ways, just as an example today. Say seed faith three times.
Seed faith.
In Genesis 8:22, the scripture tells us that seed time and harvest will not cease from this earth. That's how things work. He blessed them in Genesis 1 and gave them seed so they could produce and basically project a future in their lives. In Galatians 6, the Bible tells us, a man should not be mocked. For whatsoever he sows, that shall he reap. J.B. Phillips says this, a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seeds that he has sown. I don't like that. Let's say it another way. I'm as blessed today as I've wanted to be. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, I'm as blessed right now as I wanted to be. Because I could have been more in His Word, and I could have been more in His will, and I could have been more walking in His ways than I am. And that's all a matter of choice. So I'm as blessed today as I wanted to be. Well, I got news for you, devil. I want to be more blessed than that. Anybody here want to be more blessed than that? You think, oh, well, all these things are stacked against me, Pastor. You don't understand. You're missing the point here. God gives you the ability to project your own future with the blessing.
Amen.
Nobody can hold you back. Well, I've been taught, yes, I can be held back. Institutions, organizations, amen, particular racial groups, you know, particular cultural groups, you know, particular people financially can hold me. No, they can't. Because the power to sow seed and use seed faith is more powerful than anything the devil can use to stop you. Greater is He. Greater is He that is in you than he that what? Is in the world. Praise God. Are you still tracking? Matthew 17:20. It's interesting. Mark 11 tells us, you know, we could say to that mountain, be removed and believe in the heart and not doubt, say with our mouth that that mountain would in fact be moved. Amen. Amen. But it's Matthew 17 that tells us if we had faith size of a mustard seed, we could move that mountain. Mustard seed is pretty small. Yet it grows a sufficient kind of a plant, a tree that can house the birds of the air, the Bible says. And that's the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom, the Bible says repeatedly, as if a man sows what? Seed. The kingdom of God operates through seed time and harvest. The kingdom of God operates through seed faith. And you can use seed faith in any dimension of your life, what's going on physically, what's going on mentally, what's going on emotionally, what's going on in your marriage, what's going on financially. Seed faith will take and amen, deal with any issue in your life. Amen. The devil wants you to think you're just a victim. You can't possibly in a million years have anything to do with the outcomes in your life. Yeah, you do have something to say about that.
Amen.
Particularly the blessing. Whatever you can conceive and believe, you can do.
Amen.
Whatever you believe and conceive, you can have.
Yeah.
Everything God has ever done started with a seed. So I just want to just lay these three principles out. We'll be talking more about this in time to come. But there are three key principles of seed faith I want to leave with you today. And God, number one, don't get this mixed up with any other kind of concept, but number one, God is your source.
Amen.
Come on, shout that out. My God is my source. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Say, my God. He has a lot of ways of getting it to you. Don't confuse that way with the source. When you get your eyes on man, on an employer, on a social security check, whatever it is, you're basically saying, I have faith in that as my source instead of my God who has a million ways to get it to me. God gave this revelation to Oral Roberts years and years ago. He's in the Northwest about to do a crusade. And he was driving down the highway and he saw these beautiful farms. You know, they grow beautiful, wonderful apples. And he saw these apples on the tree. And he saw all this fruit. And of course, he also spent time with his uncle, who's a fruit farmer, had 7 or 8 different kinds of trees. And every time he would go out there during the season, these wonderful, plush, beautiful, you know, crops, especially the peach tree. People drove for miles on end to get those peaches that he grew. So he went away because he was in the ministry and came back years later to see his uncle. And he noticed how sparse the trees were and how little the fruit was that they were now growing. And he said, what's happened? And he said, you know, for years I had the best harvest in the world, and I was so happy, and I just took those fruits, and we'd sell those, and we would eat those, and we were blessed by that. He goes, but I never paid enough attention to the trees. And over time, they stopped bearing correctly. Over time, they stopped producing. He goes, now don't feel sorry for me. I'm excited. I'm getting a bunch of young plants out there. I'm going to redo this. But this time, I'm going to pay attention to the source and not just to what's growing on the trees. And that's what God is saying in this principle. You need to protect your relationship with God with everything on the inside of you. That's the source. If the relationship is good, then your tree is going to produce. If your relationship is not right, you're not going to see much fruit in your life. Make sure you pay attention to that. Again, this is not what somebody else is doing to you. Nobody can get me to be cold towards God but me. Nobody can stop me from reading the word but me. Nobody can stop me from going to church but me. And sad to say, there's still people that are dealing with remedial commands in the word of God, like pray and read the Bible and go to church.
Amen.
You're not even doing the basics. Forget about the word and the will and the ways of God. You need to wake up and realize that you bought into a lie. It doesn't take all that. Don't have to be in church, bless God. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, if you think that way, or a parent or a grandparent, they are blocking you from the blessed life. They're not helping you. Sometimes we think we're helping people but not saying anything. Oh, I don't want to offend my kids or offend my grandparents or offend my friend by telling them, what are you doing? God has called you to gather in the house of God. He has called you not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. What are you thinking? You're as blessed as you want to be. Well, I'm doing okay. I don't have to come to church. You have no idea how blessed you could be if you start keeping even the basic commands of God. And if you got an influence in your life, not telling you this, well, then know this. Your pastor loves you enough to tell you the truth. Knock it off. You've got a whole brand new year ahead of you. Knock it off and start doing what God told you to do. Well, I got offended. You got offended. Is it worth your blessing? Is it worth a blessing on your kids' lives? No, don't let anything interrupt your relationship with God. Amen. Nothing. His uncle didn't pay attention to the condition of the tree and lost the fruit. You and I need to make sure we pay attention to that source that's producing the fruit. Number two, give that it may be given to you. We can't harvest when we have not planted. It's as simple as that. In every area of life, time, talent, treasure. Scripture says in Luke 6:38, given it what? It shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over, shall what? Men given to your bosom. You absolutely, absolutely understand that if you sow, you're going to reap. It's a violation of spiritual law. You say, well, where is it? Well, time is relative. You should just continue to believe God's word is true. Any believers out there?
Yes.
The ways of God. Seed, faith. I sow a seed in that direction and everything changes in my life. The timing is not up to me. But I will caution you this. Don't get your eyes looking for favor to come from a specific place where you think it should come from. Favor will always come. But it may not come from where you think it's going to come from. I can't tell you how much that set me free. Say, in favor of God, especially for the sower, will always come. It just might not come from where I expect it to come from or when I expect it. If my eyes are on the how, the when, the what, instead of on God, I just broke that, I violated that principle of paying attention to the source. Amen. And last, number three, expect a miracle and do it daily. Release your faith daily. Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being certain and expecting, even when everything tells you that it just doesn't work that way. Well, the bottom line is, and Oral Roberts would even tell you this, Oral Roberts, did you get everything you believed for? Did you get every financial breakthrough that you needed? Did everything come through? He said, no, but you'd be amazed at all I did receive with the concepts of seed faith. In other words, it's not what didn't go right. We don't always have revelation and details on that. But think about all the things that did happen. Anybody can raise their hand and say God came through for you last year in a key and a pivotal area. Raise your hand up high and go ahead and shout and say, thank God, thank God. The bottom line is we see a whole lot more victories being faith people. See, a novice will look at something and say, well, I believe God and that didn't work out, so therefore that faith stuff doesn't work. You're looking in the wrong place. Look at all the totality of things, all the things that God has done because you chose to be a faith person. Amen. That's a trap of the devil to try to get you to look at what did not work out and forget about all the wonderful things he did with your seed time and your harvest. Amen. Amen. Say, the ways of God. You need to make God your source and keep him your source. You need to be a sower and expect to see a miracle when you do. Once you have that word from the Word of God, you begin to thank him for it. You begin to confess that word. You begin to expect something to happen every single day.
Amen.
I don't know what it is about life, even when we're taught. And say it with me, we are taught the Word of God, the principles of living by faith. Even when we're taught, it's easy to let things slip and stop expecting. Well, it's not quite noon yet. So tell your stomach to stop growling. That means there's a lot of hours left in this day for something to happen. Because what happens is when you live a life of expectancy, things are pulled into your life that are not pulled into the lives of those that don't expect. And it gets even worse. Some folks go from, you know, being neutral on expectation to expecting all the negative things to happen in their life. Well, I'm just looking for the other shoe to drop. No, I'm not.
That's right.
I'm not looking for the shoe to drop. I'm born again. I'm redeemed. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm one of his people. Amen. I understand his will and his ways and his word. And I'm not looking for the next shoe to drop. I'm looking for the next blessing to drop. The next victory to drop. The next healing to drop. Amen. The next provision to drop. The next bill paid off to drop. Amen. The next debt cancellation to drop. I'm looking for things to drop that line up with God's word. Things that violate God's word will drop on their own. You don't need to be expecting them. So critical that we get a hold of this. Say it. Seed faith means God is my source. Give that it may be given to me. And expect a miracle. Expect it. Even by sundown today. Yeah, you know, tried that stuff. It doesn't work. Well, you're exactly who I'm talking to today then. It's time for you to take your faith back up again. Lift that shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. There is nothing the devil can shoot at you that shield will not extinguish. Nothing. Be encouraged. Amen. I haven't seen everything I believed God for last year come to pass, but guess what? All the new year is a turning of a calendar, 1 second at a time. This doesn't faze God at all. Some of y'all got your eyes on a clock, on a checkbook, on a circumstance, and you've been defeated because of that. Think how stupid it is to be defeated by a clock. Look up at that clock behind you. I'm not going to be defeated by that clock. And you shouldn't either, bless God. Some Christians at 11:59, they're done. You mean to tell me that the clicking of a second beyond 12, the end of 2024, you mean to tell me that that somehow is more powerful than the word that you already possess? The will of God that you're already in? the ways of God, like love, like faith, like seed faith. You know, you have those revelations, those understanding. No, it doesn't make any difference what time it is. What day it is. And it doesn't make any difference how old you are. I'm just too old for this to work. No, your attitude should be, I am too old for it not to work.
All right.
You know some things now. Amen. Child of God, can you believe that today? Come on, stand to your feet and give him a shout. Say, God's my source, glory to God. Bless the Lord. The blessings of Abraham are mine. Thank you, my Father. Glory be to God. Jesus died on the cross, is raised from the dead, and I'm going to be taken out by the ticking of a clock. Balance of a checkbook? The attitude of some other person? Their mean words? No. Blood has been shed. Amen. And it's God's will that you walk in the fullness of the blessing. Amen. You find his blessing in his word, in his will, in his ways. And that means right now I'm as blessed as I've wanted to be. Come on, say it. Right now,
I am as blessed
as I've wanted to be. Well, guess what? Do you know that you can change your want to?
Yes.
Yes.
You want more of the word. You want more of the will. You want more understanding of the ways of God. Amen. One of my favorite Brother Osteen stories, he tells the story of the man who used to get drunk every single night. And one night he left the bar just completely stoned out of his head. He decided to take a shortcut. He walked through a cemetery. And walking through the cemetery, he stumbled upon a grave that was just dug for a ceremony the next morning. And he fell headlong into the grave. And it was deep enough that he scratched and clawed and scratched and clawed and jumped and scratched and cried for help and yelled and scratched and clawed. And finally, in absolute disappointment and disgust, he just kind of laid down in the corner of that grave and kind of gave up. And all of a sudden, he heard this voice, hello. He got out. Suddenly, his want to, he was as free as he wanted to be. Right now, your perspective, your values, you have time to meditate and reflect. A wise Christian doesn't come under condemnation the last couple of days of a year. They reflect on what they can change.
That's right.
Amen. Where they can go, what they can be. It serves you no good whatsoever to be negative about yourself and put yourself down. There's enough people doing that. There's the devil, it's a full-time accuser. A full-time slanderer. You don't need to be doing his job for him. Amen? With your heads bowed for just a moment, notice the story of the fruit trees that stopped bearing fruit because they weren't paying attention to the source. I said this early on today, that the blessing is relational. Your relationship with God. And if you're not right with him today, you can't expect in this year or any year to walk in the fullness of the blessing. It starts with you being right with him, repenting of your sin, making him the Lord of your life, coming back from that backslidden condition. And here's the thing, a lot of Christians on the outside look like they're completely functional and everything's right, but only you know in your heart if there's distance between you and God. Whether you're on fire for him right now or you're cold towards him. That's not a word of condemnation. That's a word of encouragement. It's an opportunity for you to make a change. So as you're here and you're reflecting on these things, you say, you know what, Pastor? I do need to make things right with him. Pay attention to the source. Lift your hand right now. We're just going to pray. You're going into a new year with full commitment to him. Not partial, not a little bit, not Sunday go to meeting, but full commitment to him. God is your source, but he must also be your father. He must absolutely know that you're in relationship with him because the blessing is the children's bread. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? All over the building, they pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, In Jesus' name, I recognize the blessing of God is the will of God. And I can find that blessing in His Word, in His will, and in His ways. My decision today is to serve Him with all my heart. I call Him Lord. I release my faith. I make my confession because I believe after He paid for my sin on the cross, God raised Him from the dead. I say boldly with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I understand a right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ is required for the fullness of that blessing. I receive it today. Lord, here's my life. Do with it what you want. Lord, I'm yours to command. Show me the things I need to stop doing. Show me the things I need to start doing. And I'll be quick to do it because I desire to be more blessed this new year than I have been in this past year. I acknowledge I am right now as blessed as I wanted to be, but I want more. So I'm going to line up with the Word of God, with the will of God, and the ways of God, and see His hand just like Jabez, like never before. He wasn't ashamed to cry out, oh, that you would bless me. Enlarge my territory. I pray the same thing in Jesus' name. And I fully expect to see His hand in my life like never before in Jesus' name. Now, come on, just praise Him right now. Come on, give Him a shout. Bless the Lord. Glory to your name. Lay your hand on somebody near you right now and say, I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you. Good things are headed your way. You got a hold of this today. Revelation is flowing in your life. You're going to have greater insight on Psalm 1 than you ever have in your entire life. I bless you in Jesus' name. You're walking in the will of God. You're walking in the love of God, the faith of God. You're walking in seed faith like never before. Your best days are ahead of you. You are blessed of God, Most High. Blessed of God. I bless you in Jesus' name.